I was still wearing my heels when my phone started vibrating on the kitchen counter. Not ringing. Vibrating. That low, angry buzz that feels impatient even when you don't pick it up. The house smelled like reheated takeout and lemon cleaner. The kind you use when you want things to look normal, even though they aren't. I had my laptop open on the dining table, calendar alerts stacked on top of each other, meetings bleeding into personal time, like it didn't matter anymore. I remember noticing how quiet it was. No TV, no footsteps, just the hum of the refrigerator and that phone shaking itself closer to the edge. I didn't answer it right away. I already knew what the call was about. I had known for weeks, maybe months. The promotion announcement had gone out that morning. Applause, smiles, congratulations flooding my inbox. And standing there, still dressed for work, I realized something had already collapsed. Not suddenly. Not dramatically, slowly, quietly. The way things fall apart when everyone keeps pretending they're holding, the promotion wasn't a surprise. That's important. I had been circling that role for over a year, positioning myself carefully, volunteering for the kind of work no one else wanted, but everyone benefited from. I learned how to speak in rooms where my voice used to disappear. I learned when to push and when to wait. I learned how to make myself indispensable without looking desperate. When it finally happened, people said it was overdue. They said my name like it made sense there. At home, the language was different. My husband congratulated me, but it landed flat, like a line he'd rehearsed without emotion. We had been together long enough to read each other's silences. I knew he was proud. I also knew something else was there, sitting just beneath it. He had been steady while my career accelerated. Not stagnant exactly, but slower, predictable. He liked routine. He liked knowing where he fit. My growth didn't threaten him at first. It inspired him. That changed gradually. Before the promotion, the imbalance was manageable. Long hours were temporary. Stress was situational. We told ourselves stories that made it easier. This is just a busy quarter. This will calm down after the launch. Once I get through this phase, things will normalize. We were always waiting for a future version of our lives that never quite arrived. Work rewarded my availability. Home absorbed the cost. I started missing dinners, then weekends. I answered emails during conversations. I took calls in the bedroom with the door half closed, pretending that counted as privacy. He stopped commenting on it after a while, which I mistook for understanding. It was resignation. The office culture fed the shift. Sacrifice was praised. Balance was something people talked about in panels, not something they practiced. I was suddenly surrounded by people who measured worth and output, who joked about divorce rates like they were hazard pay. I listened. I adapted. I didn't challenge it because it aligned too neatly with where I was headed. The warning signs at home were subtle at first. Shorter answers, less curiosity about my day. A tension that crept in when work came up, like we were both stepping around something fragile. I noticed it and told myself it was growing pains. I told myself we would adjust. That's what strong marriages do. They flex. But flexibility has limits. I just didn't know where ours were yet. After the promotion, everything accelerated. Expectations multiplied overnight. I was no longer just delivering work. I was representing outcomes. My mistakes carried weight. My presence mattered. I felt it in the way people watched me in meetings. In the way decisions started routing through me by default. It was intoxicating. It was exhausting. It was validating in a way I hadn't realized I'd been craving. At home, that validation didn't translate. My schedule became non-negotiable. His became flexible by necessity. The imbalance hardened. We started negotiating logistics instead of sharing a life. Who would handle what, when I'd be back, whether it was worth waiting up? Conversations turned transactional without either of us naming it. Resentment doesn't arrive all at once. It accumulates. I could feel it when he asked if I really needed to take another call, his voice tight, controlled. I could feel it when I responded defensively instead of honestly. I didn't want to admit that work felt easier than home. Work made sense. Home required presence. I didn't know how to give anymore. The point of no return wasn't an argument. It was a decision. I was offered a chance to lead a critical initiative that would define my trajectory for years. It required travel, late nights, full commitment. I didn't consult him before saying yes. I told him afterward, framed it as inevitable, like the decision had already been made by forces outside of me. The look on his face wasn't anger. It was something quieter. Final. After that, we moved around each other carefully, like strangers sharing space. He stopped asking when I'd be home. I stopped explaining why I wasn't. We both knew what was happening and avoided saying it out loud because naming it would make it real. Work filled the silence effortlessly. There was always another fire to put out, another milestone to chase. I told myself I was building something important. I was. I just wasn't sure for who anymore. When he finally said it, it wasn't dramatic. It was late. I was half listening, still tethered to my phone. He told me he felt like an accessory to my life instead of a partner. He told me he missed me. He told me he didn't recognize us. I heard all of it. I just didn't know how to fix it without giving up something I wasn't ready to relinquish. That was the choice, not between him and my career in some cinematic sense, but between confronting the cost or continuing to ignore it. I chose the latter. Silence again, momentum again, complicity dressed up as ambition. The end came quietly, the way most things do when they've been dying for a while. We decided together, in theory. In practice, the decision had been made months earlier by 1,000 small absences. There were no lawyers circling, no dramatic exits, just paperwork, logistics, and the strange politeness of people who no longer know how to reach each other. At work, nothing slowed. If anything, I became more efficient, cleaner, untethered. People praised my focus. They said I seemed lighter. I let them believe that. It was easier than explaining the emptiness that followed me home to an apartment that felt staged instead of lived in. I gained everything I was supposed to. Authority, compensation, influence. I also lost the person who had known me before. Any of that mattered. The cost wasn't immediate. It surfaced in quiet moments, in the absence of someone to text when something small happened, something that didn't belong to work. I don't regret the promotion. That's the complicated truth. I earned it. I grew into it. I also don't deny what it took. Success didn't destroy my marriage on its own. It exposed fault lines that were already there and widened them until they broke. I participated in that process. I justified it. I benefited from it. Sometimes I wonder who I would be if I had chosen differently. That question doesn't have an answer that helps. What I know is this: achievement can look like progress from the outside while eroding the things that made it meaningful in the first place. I still keep my phone face down at home. Old habit, old instinct. Some collapses don't announce themselves. They just teach you what silence costs after it's already too late.